الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين.
All praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us the opportunity and the means to be here. All praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us the means, the health, and the forms of transportation to come here. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a masjid to sit in. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a soul to live with. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this evening of Christmas to have a place and a family to turn to. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when people gather to celebrate a day that has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to gather in His home, to celebrate, to enjoy His word. Again, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we start our speech or our talk or our time together. Number one, I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience to the sisters because I know it's very difficult to listen to a talking voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience to the sisters who cannot see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any of the salawat, namaz that we missed from last Friday till today. Any shortcoming in our salawat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse that from us. Any shortcoming in our fara'id, in our the obligatory actions that we owe to our parents, to our teachers, and to the Qur'an and Islam itself, any shortcomings in that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse that from us. And two, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse any of the effect, وَمِن سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا, any of the byproduct of the sins that we did. If we ate something that was not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to eat, if we looked at something on the screen or on a street or on a laptop that was not meant for us to see, these actions have, just like any other action, have an effect. We can't see that effect sometimes. So my sincere dua, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every person who can hear my voice who's sitting here with us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse the soot, the black dust, the byproduct of our sins. May that be cleaned from us, because I could give the greatest bayan you've ever heard in your life. If there's blackness on top of the jar that you're going to put this bayan into, you're putting jewelry into the dumpster. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything we've eaten, ingested, any oof to our parents, any extra words to our family. Maybe we could have dealt with our wife a little bit softer, but the ego got over us. Any of these actions have black soot. They have a dark repercussion. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse that from us. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I apologize before we start the lecture. The bulb on the projector will burn through that flyer. So either turn it off or move the flyer, because halfway through I'll be talking about Naru Jahannam and there'll be Nar right there. A lot of people tend to ask, Brother Wissam, why do you start with dua? Why do we start with dua? And I need to clarify something. I humbly am speaking in front of Maulana Sahab. I am humbly speaking in front of the Imam of our masjid. I'm not qualified to be up here. I'm here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the opportunity to be here. So A, this talk will guide you zero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. So if anything productive is going to come from this talk, at least from myself, it's if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then I do the formality of doing this. So inshallah, let's start by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any of the shortcomings that we have done. And again, I'm going to highlight any of the prayers that we have not fulfilled their rights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the musallin, those who pray consistently. If you can watch the clock with me, I have approximately 33 minutes to do three major tasks.
45.
No, I have 33 minutes to do a major task. Let me explain to you why. 45 minutes, the reality is, let's try to build into this quickly. And I don't know if you can tolerate my echo constantly. So I will try my best to speak to you clearly. You are only going to attain or retain the first 800 words that I said. Okay, this is statistical information. When giving bayans, if you realize the crux needs to be in the beginning. At the end, you're going to start and you're going to start whipping out your phone and maybe play a basketball game on your phone, and maybe you're going to text someone. So right now, I want you to know exactly what the function, the purpose, what we're meant to do with this time right now. So there are 45 minutes, but let's be real. How many of us are going to be sharp for the next 45 minutes? So in the next 33 minutes, what I would like to do is I'd like to tackle three very major things. One is I need to catch up from the khutbah. As you can tell, the bayan or the talk before the khutbah was very quick. Isa alayhi salam wasn't born, X, Y, and Z. I want to complete the actual purpose of what I wanted to share in the bayan, and that is A. Number one, what is our approach to the Qur'an? Today's talk is entitled The Essence of Qur'an, am I correct? Essence of Qur'an. The second thing that I would like to do, very, very importantly, is then I would like to then delve into why is it we don't approach the Qur'an the way it's meant to be. It's going to take me 5 minutes to go through the approach of Qur'an. We did that, Surah Yusuf. And I'm going to tell you, and you're going to say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. But why isn't it that we're doing it? That's the connecting part. The connecting part is going to be the most important. So what is our approach to Qur'an? What is our approach to the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. A book that we sent down unto you. إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. A book that we sent down unto you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you could take the people, and all of the grammar students know, min al-zulumat. Is it zulum, one zulum? No. Zulumat is what? Multiple. It's the plural. So there are plural darknesses. Ila nur. A book that came down so that you could take the people from multiple darknesses into one light. Ila nur. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. And like we said earlier, this path of multiple darknesses and guidance from Qur'an taking us to one light source is going to happen بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. With the permission of the one who sent you the book in the first place, you are going to be guided to the path, ila siratil aziz, of the Almighty, the All-Powerful, and the Hamid. Can anyone figure out why these two characteristics? Why say a book that we sent to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you could take the people from multiple darknesses to one light? This taking them from darkness to light would happen with the permission of whom? Aziz. It would happen, permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but of 99 names, 256 characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are we looking at Aziz and Hamid? Because at the end of the day, we make up three creatures. We make up the creatures that are known as insan. And we have free choice, right? So at the end of the day, when I recite Quran to you or some Maulana sahab gives you a talk, you have the ability to say, Maulvi talk. Those movies, whatever, let them sit. So you have the ability to choose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you, before you get too creative and choose rationale, choose emotion, choose this world over the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who? Who is He? Aziz. He's all-powering. He's overpowering. And I like this translation. He is all-powerful and overpowering, but also at the same time, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Azizun, Hakim, and in this situation, Hamid. He's the most worthy of your praise. So you have strength, and then you also have a soft reminder. So that's the second thing that I want to connect. What is our approach to Quran? Why is it that we do not approach the Quran that way? And then number three, what I'd like, the second thing that I want to connect. What is our approach to Quran? Why is it that we do not approach the Quran that way? And then number three, what I'd like to do, by then my 800 words will be done. What I would like to do then is propose to you a vision, a plan, a matter of action to bring Quran and Islam back into our study in a very systematic format. So I'll break this room up into a few groups. Those people who were forced to be here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for being here. Those people who came and beat their kids to come here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you too. And those people who are here genuinely to learn something, genuinely to absorb something, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this time an easy, and my dua for you is coherent. Because how these three topics are very, very vast. You can give an hour talk on them. So let's start from the very zero level. I'm here for the purpose to give you an idea of how to approach the Quran. And we should approach the Quran, I guess, zero level. The first, or is the initial, elementary approach to Quran is, stop picking and choosing ayat from the Quran. I mean, this has to go without fail. From now on, we're not going to pick and choose ayat. What does this mean? You know, you get out of a khutbah and you need to disprove someone. What do? You grab the mushaf, you flip the pages, you let your cell phone ring, and then you look at someone and say, look at this, Quran says this, you're fasiq. Or you'll hear someone get a point, they have a point in their head. They want to make some point. So what do? They pick the ayat about that topic and then they talk about it. What I'd like to do is make our initial approach to the Quran is not picking and choosing. So let's not pick and choose. Let's start at the first, where we started in the khutbah today. This is going to be my summary from what we should have heard in the small bayan. Surah Yusuf. Everyone knows Surah Yusuf? Make it a fact, if you get the opportunity, don't take my word for translation, don't take my word. I'd like you to open Surah Yusuf. If you have it on your phone, open it on your phone. If you have the opportunity after this, go ahead and do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates four major approaches to the Quran from the beginning of Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who brought the message to us, in turn is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Alif Lam Ra. Alif Lam Ra. And I dislike lecturing. I've spoken for 6 minutes. My lecture is done. You tell me, from the khutbah, what does Alif Lam Ra mean? Tell me, please. Don't make me stand up here quiet. What do we say from the khutbah? How many people in the khutbah, by the way? Okay, wonderful. What did we say the letters Alif Lam Ra meant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Okay, so help me build my thought process here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens guidance to mankind, let's press pause here, rewind the cassette, about almost 9 juz, 10 juz. You say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. You say this statement 17 times a day. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. And some of you have heard balagha and tafsir of this, but basic translation, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. What kind of straight path? Straight path of those whom you favored. And just in case, not the path of those who earned your anger or went astray. What's the answer to this dua? Anybody? What's the next word after waladdallin? What's the next word written in the mushaf? Alif Lam Mim. You want guidance? You can't comprehend the first three letters. What's the next? So you said, oh Allah, guide me. And then you were very specific. You wanted an'amta alayhim, and you didn't want ghayr al-maghdoob and wa al-dhalin. The answer to that was Alif Lam Mim. Look up any translation it says A-L-I-F. What does that mean? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything to you. So where is Hidayah? First approach to Quran. Number one. What is it? Quran knows. Go ahead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and I don't. What is the next word after Alif Lam Mim? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Oh yeah, you wanted guidance? By the way, you don't comprehend the first three letters, and by the way, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. This is the book. La raib. Every medical book that I've finished, every pharmacology book, every hijama book that I have finished, says what? And the last edition, we needed to make an edit. Time magazine does what in the first 10 pages? Oh, last issue, we made this mistake. What encyclopedia starts with? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ. There will never be a doubt in this book. And now if you look at this in a balagha point, i'rab, those of you who are grammar students, you're going to realize that there's no doubt in it now and there won't be any scientific problems. Later on you're not, oh, you know, science says this, but Quran says this. La raib. So friends, when we start Surah Yusuf and we read Alif, Lam, Ra, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us? Sit down. Sit down, you don't even comprehend the first three letters of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and we don't. So at the end of the day, that kind of gives me a streamlined approach. Let's go number two. The second approach to the Quran, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. Tilka ayatul kitab. That these are signs, ayatul kitab al mubin. These are signs, lessons, revelations, ayat. Best translation of it is the word ayat. From what type of book? Can anyone tell me what the word is? Kitab mubin. What did we say in the khutbah? What is mubin like? Yalla. Like what? It's like a glass of water. If I took a glass of water and I put it up here, and I held up two fingers behind it, what would you see? You'd see really two really big fingers. But you would be able to see them. Approach number two to the Quran. Number one was what? I have 33 minutes, friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and I don't. First approach, sit down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, He knows and we don't. Second approach to the Quran. If something doesn't make sense to me, yani, let's be for the young people. How many people have ever seen someone on the cover of GQ with something hanging off their face? I've never seen it. 20 years, I've never seen the cover of GQ with some guy with this stuff on his face. So my rationale tells me, man, I ain't gonna grow something on my face. I'm gonna grow some scraggly stuff on my face. Or you get, and this is gonna bother the adults, interest. I won't talk about it. But rationally right now, I'm from Dallas. Do you know the foreclosure rate down in Dallas? If I were to open up just a little bit of allowance, I could get 4,000 square feet for 0.9% APR. Just a little bit of haram. Rationally, that makes sense to me. So now when you come to this book that you don't comprehend the first three letters, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. If a topic doesn't make sense to you, my beloved brothers and sisters and my fathers, who qualified you to have a problem to disagree with the creator of the heavens and the earth? No one did. So if I came in here and said cancer's not real, okay? Right, Tom Cruise came in and said postpartum depression is not real. Right? So who made him a doctor to come and say, but okay, yalla, give it, let him have that allowance that he was able to say it's not real. The creator of the heavens and the earth is saying something in his book. When did we get, forget our PhDs and our authorities, when did we get the ability to say something in front of the creator of the heavens and the earth? We didn't. Approach number two to the Quran. If you don't get it, it doesn't make it wrong. If you don't get one of the laws of the Quran, it doesn't make the law wrong. It makes your acceptance or your understanding of it. Now, let's be real here. If in 12, maybe 20 minutes, I broke down economically how interest is bad, how it's a blessing of manlihood to grow a beard, or the benefits of four wives, or how clean zabiha meat is, does that make the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any better? If I stood up here and I lectured on Quranic sciences, science in the Quran, embryology, the having seven stomachs, the whole photosynthesis cycle, does that make Quran any better? I'm genuinely asking you a question. If I gave you a 35-minute lecture on embryology, Surah Nur and the surrounding surah about that, would that make the Quran stronger? Thank you. Science doesn't need to prove Quran. Quran, as you told me, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for the one who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So approach number two, Quran. I want to move through this a little quicker now. Approach number two to the Quran is simple. I might not understand some law. يُصِيكِ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَائِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. It's a long verse that talks about inheritance. Do you mind if I point at you? Okay, so here's my dad. My dad dies, I get 2/3, and he's my sister, and my sister gets 2/3. You're kind of funky looking sister, but right. Okay, my funky looking sister gets nair joint. But my funky looking sister gets this point, and you can be my brother. My brother gets this 2/3. I rationalize all the things. I get my sister gets and the brother gets 2/3. Some breakdown. If I don't understand, that doesn't qualify to accept the law. I have to turn around and go back to the water. Show you the glove water and say, "Kumukin," and you say this, "I can't see it. I don't understand what you're saying." What am I going to ask you to do? Open your eyes. Look at the reality around you. If it says VH1 here, it says MTV over here, right? And you're like, "I don't understand hijab." Maybe there's an issue, friends. Maybe there's something. If it says Bollywood's greatest hits across your eyes, and you're like, "Islam says, you know, separation between the men and the women, and Allah subhanahu, brother, jhalak malak, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to explain to you what's written on your eyes. I'm just going to ask you to open them." The third approach to the Quran, very clearly, the next verse. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan. Indeed, we have revealed. Revealed it. Reveal what? Inna anzalnahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most High, the only creator of the heavens and the earth, He has dictated to us, "I have revealed what? Qur'anan Arabiyya." And anyone who says, "But brother, I have translation." Let's take your translation for a ride. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed Qur'anan Arabiyya, an Arabic Qur'an. So in the perfect, more constructive translation, indeed we have revealed Qur'an Arabic. So the sifa, the adjective, is in Arabic Quran. And here's the kicker. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ Quran in Arabiya, لَعَلَّكُمْ. And I know the grammar students love to eat this up. لَعَلَّ means what? It means you have to put some effort into it in order to تَعْقِلُونَ. Now anyone, iPhone this real quick. Read تَعْقِلُونَ translation to me. Jazakallah khair, look at you, Batu. Well done. Okay, so brothers, if you don't mind moving up slightly, my time is really trickling here. It's okay. I love how the speaker comes up and goes, "Brothers, move forward," and they go, Jazakallah khair. Let's take, so that you may do what? Brother, conquer the room.
Understand.
Hayakallah. So that you may understand. But the word ta'qilun comes from what root verb? Did we do this in the khutbah? We did in the khutbah. What was the root word? Ayn, qaf, lam, iqal. The root word of the word ta'qilun is iqal. Someone tell me what iqal means. We got to pick up on this. Okay, I'll do this one for you. Yes, sir. Thinking. Okay. The root word for iqal, the root word for ta'qilun is iqal. Anyone know what iqal is? You know the white gutra they wear? The white kifaya they wear on top? Anyone not know? Someone just shake your, you know. You know that white thing they wear? You see the imams of the Kaaba a lot of time. Imam Hudayfi wears that white, they wear a white cloth on their head. And they have that black rope that goes around their head. That black rope was known as iqal. What? What does a rope tied around someone's head have to do with me understanding? Well, let's go a little further. What did they do with the rope? When they parked their camel, you know when you park, your dad parked your car, or brothers, you parked the car, when you pull up the handbrake, right? Or what do? You pull out the club and you go, and you put the club on. The iqal, the black rope, was used as a parking brake. They would take their camel to a bazaar or anywhere, and they would tie this section. Sisters, if you can't see, I'm just basically putting my finger on my knee. They would tie their knee of the camel, and basically one leg would be tied. What would that do? I'm just a camel, I can kind of just hop around, eat some leaves here, eat some leaves. What can't I do? Help me again, friends. I know you said it right. I just need to say that word again. You can't run away. You can't just, if I want you to get it real strong. You can't run. The camel cannot run away. What does this rope have to do with Quran and Arabiya? Friends, what do you need to understand? You're driving here, someone cuts you off. What does your wife usually tell you? Thanda dimagh. Keep your head cool. Calm down. What is she telling you to calm down? Your emotions. Your ego, your emotions, at the end of the day it comes out to emotion, right? So now you tell me, what needs to be tied in order for our intellect to reach a point? In order for us to truly understand Quran al-Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. In order to understand this Arabic Quran, brothers and sisters, what do we need to do? Try it. There's no wrong answer here. You tie your emotions, perfect. And once you tie your emotions, your intellect will reach a peak. I made you repeat the word running camel. But let's play this game now. If you don't tie your emotions, what will happen to you? Your emotions will run wild. I don't know. Let's look at an example. What day is it today? This is the date. A prophet came to a group of people. That prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he cured the leper, and I won't repeat this too many times. He cured the leper. Then what did he do? Then he cured the dead to life. He touched the clay. He fed the people. He did miracles. If I literally started flying around this room, you would start to think, wow, that guy is flying around the room. But 5 minutes into it, what would one of the scholars in the room say? Hey, think about it. Think about it. Tie up your emotions. Maybe it's a trick. And if it's not a trick, maybe it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you let your emotions run wild, let's see. You wouldn't follow the teachings that he brought you in the Bible anyway. You would change the religion and sing songs about him. And then what else would you do? Celebrate his birthday on a wrong day? Maybe. Leave his real teachings? Maybe. Brothers and sisters, without the control of our emotions, we'll be left doing nothing more to our religion except fighting about whether we should celebrate a birthday or not, singing songs, wearing certain colors, and leaving the book that was brought to the side. Because why am I going to study that book on the shelf? No, that's for scholars. Why am I going to learn to read Quran? No, those are for the kids in the Nurani Qaeda. Me? I'm going to get into one mean moon sighting debate. And that's going to transition me to the second part of the talk. So three approaches to Quran. Quran knows, we do not know. The Quran knows because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it unto the greatest man to walk on this earth, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that book brought us the clearest guidance, surah number 67, surah Mulk. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq. Alas, who created us? Friends, I have a long tangent on this, but I will ask you this much. If I bought a Phantom, my twin turbo V12, huge Rolls Royce Phantom, and I took it to the Getty gas station to get fixed, what would you all call me? You can't say those words in the masjid. Okay? You can't say those words in the masjid. So the creator of the heavens and the earth created us. But we take it to the rationale. We take it to democracy. We take it to people who have BS, and then people who have MS, more, and people who have PhD, piled high and deep. So that's my only question to you. Let's transition now into the second phase. What is it that stops us from approaching Quran like this? Let's be real. What's the number one reason? Now, brothers and sisters, you were asked to come to this lecture. It's going to get slightly edgy for a little bit. Somebody asked, family, can I pick on you? Okay, here's my family and mashallah. My family's here. And my family was asked to come to this lecture. There's one solid goal here, that is to approach Quran correctly. But let's look at it differently. The solid approach is, come to the lecture. Who cares what the lecture's about? Now, their family members don't want to come, but they can't say, I'm not coming to Bayan, because then they'll look non-religious. So watch this. He's my cousin. I know what he's going to say already. What is this? It's an excuse. Okay, his pants are too far along the ground. Oh, what is this? You might genuinely have a problem with his fiqh masail, but only person who knows your real reason is you. And the creator of the heavens and the earth knows whether you truly disagree. So now I ask you, what's easier? To come and listen to the bayan, or come up with a real excuse? Oh, those people. It's easier just to come up with some excuse. And if you push it hard enough, you'll get it. Now let's take it the step further. So that's the first reason, because of our excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تعتذروا اليوم. There won't be any excuses on that day. But now let's really get it another step. Have you ever met, I'll take a weak, this is a da'if story, but it doesn't really matter. There's no fiqh in this. A man came to Musa alayhi salam. This is really important for you to get, so please don't lose me. Young people, just give me 10 seconds on this one. A man came to Musa alayhi salam. He said, if I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would comb his hair. Now I want you to comprehend this. Bedouin, simple man. If I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'd comb his hair. Does a man love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Does he have guidance? Not really. But what does he want to do? He wants to show his a blessing somehow. A. B. New brother comes into the masjid, comes in. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَى الضَّالِّينَ. And you'll get that one brother in the masjid. What does he do? Ameen. Now there's fiqh masail about this, but wait a minute. Does he know whether to say Ameen loudly or quietly? No. It's, what is it? It's manifestation. I want to do something religious. I don't know what to do. Comb hair, say Ameen. I want to do something religious. Now let's come to the third person. Two brothers came into the masjid. And this is real. I don't want to waste your time. Big, beautiful masjid, beautiful chandelier. One brother came in and started talking. My class was going on behind the curtain. One brother said, Subhanallah, my sheikh's knowledge is so good. He told me that giraffe, you know giraffe, Jeffrey, Toys R Us, giraffe is halal. So another brother came in. Now remember, I want you to go back to why we don't approach Quran like this. Another brother said, that's my sheikh. My sheikh said, giraffe is haram. Wallahi. So what do you think they did in the house of Allah? What do you think they did in the house of Allah? They argued whether giraffe was halal or haram. Now I want you to press pause. Look at this from the two cameras. Two not necessarily religiously inclined uncles or dads yelling in the masjid about what topic? Giraffe. I worked at Toys R Us when I was little. I ain't gonna eat no giraffe. I didn't even see a giraffe till 2008 in real life. But let's take it a step further. What's going on behind the curtain? Tajweed Quran class. Learning to say Khalaqa. You help me. What's easier to do? Yell and scream in the masjid and make your imam's point stronger? or humbly sit in a class and learn khalaqa, what's easier?
I want you to,
brother, it's so difficult to argue. Oh, please. Hang on. Give me a second here.
You're surprised.
What's easier? What makes you feel more religious? Defending giraffe or sitting in a class humbly, taking notes? Kha is huruf al-halq, lam is light, but in the word Allah, it could be pronounced Allahu. Is that easier? Or coming and feeling real manly about arguing about something in the masjid? I'll let you take that one home for yourself. Because some of the uncles would be like, no, arguing is better. Okay. So this brings me to my last point here. People who come to the religion very quickly. And like a quick fix, like Tylenol, it's easy to get emotional. And to fight about topics at the end of the day that don't really have an end to the answer. I don't know how far to go at Darul Islah, so I will not go much further. But I will ask you this much. Next time you get into some argument about the book and the curtain anywhere in your masjid, could I learn something about the book that I'm trying to defend? You ever meet those brothers? I'm from Dallas, so we don't see it as much. I lived in New York for 20 years. Anyone has ever seen, I'm so sorry if you live on Hillside Avenue, the brother who lives on Hillside Avenue, his pants are down here, his hat is like this, Islam. And he's got this Allah necklace this big. What is he trying to do? Venerate. He wants to feel some religiosity, but what can't change? That's not how I roll. His pants are going to be the same place. His swagger is going to be the same place. His necklace might even spin. But he wants to feel like I'm doing something religious. You know what pirates do? They steal and they give some to the poor. Adults, please bypass this. Do you know what the dancing girls in the Muslim world do? Those women who fahish. They dance, they do haram things every 10th of Muharram. And I will show you when I was studying overseas. And this is not Arab, non-Arab. I'm talking about both sides. Arab world and non-Arab world. What do the dancing girls do on the 10th of Muharram? Full niqab, gloves and abaya. They go to the graves and they wash them. And I'm giving you words from myself. My sister, why do you do this? She said, we're people too. We want to feel religious. I was gutsy 19-year-old. I asked one of them, who is a famous singer in a Muslim country, why are you washing the grave? Why was she? Somebody who 364 days a year dances and chum-chum in the hearts of every person who looks at her. Why is she at a grave washing in abaya and niqab and gloves? She wants to feel religious. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب إلى الآخر الآية. Some of us take groups of religious work and then that's it. That's what makes me feel religious. Don't mess with my namaz. But brother, your namaz, alhamdulillah, you should pray, but let's teach other people. Nope, those people are from another group. So brothers and sisters, when the pirate does this, when your child slaps another kid, and then he turns around and he says, sorry. It's because human beings want to feel remorse. They want to feel the regret. So next time, and this is my final note for this second point. Why don't we do this? Because it is easier to fight than to learn the book of Allah that we're fighting about. It is easier to dress up any way I want. Leave the thugs on the street for a second because they can't speak English properly. I'm not talking about straight English. They got off the boat 6 months ago and now all of a sudden they're the hardest thug on the street. Because Bangladesh is hardcore, yo. Okay, let's leave. Let's go to the preppy kids who live on Long Island. I'm a Long Island kid, so I can say whatever I want about Long Island. They'll dress up any way they want. And they'll come give flyers out at the masjid because it makes you feel better. This will lead me into my vision for Quranic study in the rest of North America and eventually as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to go. Next time you hear someone say, why don't you do this religious act? And you're like, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do it? No, no, He's not telling you to do anything bad. He's just telling you to do something good. Is that tying up your emotions? That's letting them run wild. Brothers and sisters, when I live in the Bible Belt, right? I live in Texas. In Texas. In Texas, everything is about what? When they tell you to believe in Jesus. When you say, you know, I believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa ibn Maryam is throughout the Quran alayhi salatu wasalam. We have a chapter that you don't have. What do they tell you about believing in Jesus? What do they tell you? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good because you're venerating a God. And you know, you got your tambourine and you're singing and you're in the church. And it's $100 million church. It's gorgeous. I felt spiritual when I went in there. It's like, wow. Cha-cha-ching. So that's why they sing, because it feels good. That's why they entertain you. And that's why the sermon must be like this. Because you have to keep someone entertained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entertained you first, or He asked you to do what?
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
That's emotion. My voice is not that powerful. Read in the name of your Lord. Why? خلق. Creating human beings, is that an emotional thing? No. You're my dad? Who are you, my dad? My dad, he done one had a kid. That's tangible. You can touch that. So when I am then reminding someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pulling your intellect. And I won't use the projector because the sisters can't see, and that leads me into the final point of what I want to make for tonight. We have approached the Qur'an for approximately, leave the rest of the world alone, 55 years here in the United States. 55 years. We have opened Madaris Galore. I am the product and the representative of Darul Uloom Chicago, Islamic Institute of Education. We have built a $25 million masjid with a $7 million school behind it. We have built Musalla, places to pray. Brothers and sisters, 55 years ago, and I have it in a small article. You know what somebody asked? They asked in a question Q&A. It says, is eating non-zabiha meat okay or not? 55 years later, where are we? Please don't ask. But brother, what's your opinion? I don't care what my opinion is. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. That's the whole point. Eat what you have studied. And I'll ask you this much. When my parents got here in the early 60s, and they said, beta, when we first got here, my son, when we first got here, there was never a question of global or local until one person came and asked the question in early 50s. We're still there, brothers and sisters. The chance now is here. The chance now is our opportunity. Every one of the madaris that makes up the system that we study through, every Islamic school, every khutbat, is the chance to revive the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. Before I get into my vision, I will close with one very simple opening thought. This is narrated in the sound books of hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded the ummah that was coming on his right after him. Every 100 years, a group would arise, a person would come, or a group of people would come to do what? To revive this ummah. Mashayikh scholars from both sides of the aqidah spectrum. So anyone who wants to play that game with me, bring it on. Both sides of the fence have said, this ummah died in 1924. This ummah died. And if you want to go technical, March 3rd, 1924, what happened? The Islamic State fell. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm putting a hadith inside of a hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the knots, like a knot in a rope, the knots of Islam will come out one by one. The first knot of Islam that will be undone is the state. the last knot of Islam will be salah, prayer, obligatory prayer. Forget the state. Do we pray? If you do the math, 1924 plus 100, we have 14 years. We have 14 years to bring a change in our ummah that hasn't been seen in over 100 years. Quran and Sunnah and fiqh masail as they were presented. Because the last 50 haven't seen much. It is our opportunity to revive this ummah the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do so. And I hate to sound like a soundbite or a trailer, but I have gone city to city after a friend empowered me to say these words. He put my words into a thing and I've watched them so many times. Isn't there anything wrong with saying that? This ummah will come together under the book that binded us together. That rope's knots are done.
وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ.
Hold fast the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the book that He sent on us. And if I may, but brother, there are differences of opinion in the Quran. 6,000 plus verses. How many ayat in the Quran are mutashabihat? 16. 1-6. You're going to tell me that I should make ikhtilaf and fight with my brothers because 16 verses in the Quran are not completely digested by limited human beings? Well, that makes sense. A book from the creator of the heavens and earth, we can't comprehend every verse. I'll buy that. In closing, I will share a small vision because I know my time will go and I would like to pray salah on time. That vision starts with every single Muslim in North America fulfilling the first obligation, the first fi'l, amr, of the Qur'an. The first commanding verb of the Qur'an, which is to read. If you cannot read, a small organization that I represent with plus upwards of 35,000 students, my own being, who've taken the course, 10,000, that's the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I encourage you, everyone, whether you take a tajweed class with bayina or not, forget it, it's a vehicle. I ask you and I implore you, learn to read Quran. Number two, it's not a plug. If you do not have the means, the opportunity, or you just have a really good excuse for not coming and learning at the madaris that are in your area, then February 5th, we would like to jumpstart your Quranic study, if you know how to read, by the basic essentials of tajweed. We will not do iqlab shafwi and min sharri. I will not say anfusak. I won't teach you those things. You don't need them. I won't teach you ba'san shadida. I will not teach you advanced rules. I will not teach you the six exceptions of the letter ra, mil, sad in the Quran. I won't. I'll teach you how to read Alhamdulillahi. Brother, that's what I read. Really? Most people who pray next to me say Alhamdulillahi. What's the difference between Alhamdu and Alhamdu? You'll find out bismillah on the 5th. But it doesn't stop there. It's a weekend seminar that leads off into a 21-day online course that will teach you how to read Quran correctly. The next class will teach you advanced rules of tajweed and vocabulary. And finally, 12 students have completed this as well, and that is Quranic memorization cover to cover. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to do this. Brothers and sisters, just give me a second here. I earned this time. It took me 6.5 hours to get here and to fight through a lot of fake Christmas smiles. Please do me one favor. Don't leave here saying the talk was nice. Don't mention anything about the talk. Every time you feel like, hey, he made a joke, hey, I laughed, all I want you to do is, what one thing am I going to do to improve my Quranic recitation? What one thing am I going to do before next Ramadan, 27th night, when Imam Sudeh says, Allahumma taqabbal minna tilawatil Qur'an. Can you truly say Ameen to that sentence? Can you say when he says, O Allah, accept our recitation of Qur'an, can you have any part of that Ameen? A lot of things will distract you. A lot of people will distract you. Do me that one favor of asking yourself, what can you do to improve your Quranic recitation? And bi-iznillah, I open the floor to questions. Those of you who need to politely go and make wudu, please go ahead and do that. I believe we pray at 7:45. Anyone who has questions, let me ask your questions. Don't let me stand up here like a puppet. If you don't have a question, say Jazakallah Khairan. If you have a question, just raise your hand. I do this every weekend and I just stare out into abyss of people. You don't got a question, you don't got a question. That's straight. Are there any questions? On behalf of myself, my family, my friends who helped me get here, Jazakallah Khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our recitation and all of our time. If I had more time, I'd actually like to show you how we can improve our recitation of Quran today. But bi-idhnillah, if Allah wills, after Salatul Isha, if you give me 2 minutes, I'll teach you one rule. It's an awesome rule. You will learn to read Quran today better. What kind of rule is it? Say it one time for me. It's awesome. It's an awesome rule. If you have the opportunity, if no one has questions, I'm going to take my minute and a half. Fair enough? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, this was all rhetoric. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, he's got a big voice. He said big words. Let's do something for Quran tonight. All of the study of Tajweed is broken into 5 parts. Quranic recitation is broken into 5 parts. P-A-R-T-S. Parts. Phonetics, sounds. Accents, A-E-U. Rhythm, all that bouncing, Ahad. Temperament, Awqaf, Waqf, and Sifat. I'd like to give you the biggest rule of P today. There are 7 letters. Everyone knows their letters. If you don't know your letters, refer to the 101 material. There are 7 letters in the Quran. 7 letters in the Arabic language that are pronounced. What kind of rule was it? It was an awesome rule. Can everyone say awesome for me, please?
Awesome.
Awesome. There are 7 letters in the Quran that are awesome. Can everyone say awful for a second?
Awful.
Wow, you guys are a really rowdy crowd. Friends, you tired? It's an English word. Say awful.
Awful.
MashaAllah. I didn't fly 7 hours. Awful. 7 letters. Everyone say paw. Wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. I'll say them for you. MashaAllah. This is really difficult. Genuinely, if you think it's easy for you to come and sit here, try doing this for one night. Do this for one night. Have 70 people stare at you. Paw. I'm asking you to say letters of Quran. But I won't get agitated. I'll say 7 letters. You tell me the sound that's in the background. Qa, sa, ba, ta, za, kha, gha. What kind of sound is in the background?
Awful.
Awful. An awesome sound is in the background. Now listen to it wrong. Qaf, suwad, duwad, tuin, Zui, and in Ghan. Did you hear any awful or awesome sound in the background? Okay, you didn't. So let's take this, just one rule, an awesome rule, and let's implement it into Quranic recitation. You won't repeat after me, Abdullah, Ubaidullah, if you could repeat after me. You're my family, you're taking care of me. Listen.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ.
How many aw sounds? I'll do it one more time.
فَلَقُ.
How many awesome sounds did you hear? One.
مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ.
How many times have you heard
مَا خَلَقُ?
Is meme one of the 7 awesome letters?
قَ صَ ضَ طَ ظَ غَ خَ.
Is meme one of these? No. Everyone say
ma,
kha,
la,
qa.
So you have 2 awesome letters. Listen to the correct pronunciation that you did in a minute and a half.
Ma khalaqa.
Alhamdulillah. Really genuinely, that's how simple it is. That's it, brother. What's the rest of the rule? That's it. 7 awesome letters. Every time you get to them, make an awesome sound. And you will never say Swirat Twal Ladina, because you don't say Twal when you say awesome.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
What comes after عليهم? غيرل. Is it غيرل? Help me out. Why isn't it غيرل? Because غين is awesome. That's how simple it is. But brother, I don't read like you. Khalas, you gave me 2.5 minutes. Give me a little bit more time. Inshallah, we'll go through some awesome letters and we'll go through some other sounds as well. By the way, I just want you to realize the recitation in today was broken. I recited, then I translate, I recited. This is not the best thing to do. Afdal, the best thing that we can do is recite Quran continuously so that people can hear it. The use to translate that I used today was because I don't speak fluent Arabic and I know that you're better than me. I was just translating for myself. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. May our youth be spent in the servitude of Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower our scholars and our elders and the imam of our masjid with life energy and the ability to spread the knowledge of Islam. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. My genuine dua that goes out are the brothers who were able to, this is a big deal, they were able to keep the wall up for the last 45 minutes. So my brothers who were able to lean on the wall for the last 45 minutes, everyone, we should say Jazakallah khairan to them, because if they didn't lean on the wall, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because if they didn't lean on the wall, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower our scholars and our elders and the imam of our masjid with life energy and the ability to spread the knowledge of Islam. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. My genuine dua that goes out are the brothers who were able to, this is a big deal, they were able to keep the wall up for the last 45 minutes. So my brothers who were able to lean on the wall for the last 45 minutes, everyone, we should say Jazakallah khairan to them, because if they didn't lean on the wall, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.